And ladies and gentlemen, as promised, it's another edition of the Shooting USA podcast and video cast. This time, my distinct pleasure to welcome my friend and the winningest man in the history of the Bianchi Cup, Doug Koenig. Doug, welcome to the podcast.
Thank
welcome
you,
to the video show.
Thank you.
It's internet and it's like television, but it's on the internet. It's radio, but it's on the internet. It's a whole new world and we're embracing it. Just like we're embracing the fact that you're with a whole new gun sponsor. We've known for years, we've known you in Smith & Wesson Blue. Now, it's Hornady Red. That's a huge thing.
Ruger Red.
Well, you wear Hornady Red also, but you're right. The gun sponsor is Ruger, so I completely stumbled on that one. We're well into day one of the NRA's convention, and I'm already saying, it's Ruger. That's the new gun sponsor, and that is news. That's noteworthy. Talk about that.
Right. It's, you know, the opportunity, you know, and I had 15 great years at Smith & Wesson, nothing but the best, great career. But it was, you know, sometimes change is just good. It
right.
was just time. And, you know, I wanted to kind of take my career a little different direction. I mean, I still want to compete, but I want the opportunity to be more involved in the products, product design, working with project managers and you know, engineers, and that's what kind of gets me excited now is being involved in that and seeing something built, and that I think comes from my carpentry background,
sure.
you know, wanting to build things. So that just kind of comes through right now and gives me that opportunity to see it in the firearms world.
That I think for any competitive shooter is ultimately the goal. I would think that any competitive shooter is going to want to help a company develop and evolve a product. And in this instance, it's like a blank canvas.
Right. It is. You know, I mean, they've got some new things on the horizon, and you know, they've got the SR 1911s, and they want to build that family. But for me, you know, there's opportunity even as a competitor. You know, with the Ruger Precision Rifle.
Sure.
I'm starting to shoot some PRS now
mm-hmm.
and do a little three gun. There's, you know, the opportunity there is, you know, the sky's the limit for me, and I get to test out some new waters and do some things that I've been wanting to do for a few years and just, you know, structurally just didn't work out.
Right. Well, the precision game, as I've told you, is something that has hooked me in the biggest way, and the viewers know, they've heard me talk about it over and over again, but once you're into that, it is a whole different world of competitive shooting. It is completely different than anything we do in the practical
sports. It is. I shot two matches last year, and I'm, you know, the second part of this season, I'm going to try to shoot, you know, at least four, maybe six
sure.
Matches, and I can't wait. I've got my gear all set up. I'm ready to go. Kestrel and my Leupold Mark V and you know, the precision rifle and 6.5. Got my Hornady ammo. Everything
yes.
is ready to go. I'm just waiting to get through some of these pistol matches here coming
yes.
up in the next 6 weeks. And then long range.
Yep, long
here
range,
I
here
come,
we come,
baby.
Right? Wow, that Hornady ELD match ammo is absolutely untouchable as far as a factory-loaded competition, PRS competition-oriented ammunition. There is nothing better.
It's amazing, you know, whether it's the ammunition, you tie that with the rifles. You know, back when I started to shoot, or, you know, even as a long-range hunter, you know, you would have had to spend, you know, $5,000-$6,000. You would have had to hand-load all your own ammunition to get the performance that we're getting, you know, with the products now. I mean, the factory ammunition is just, it's second to none. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, and then there are several other sponsors that are going to benefit from this new relationship. You know, Safariland is there. And not only do they have the holsters, they've got ear protection.
Yeah, so exactly.
I mean, they're all the way across the board, everyone who's involved with the Doug Koenig brand is going to benefit from this one major move.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, it's, you know, it's all partnership and networking and
yep.
and bringing, you know, different products and ideas and people together. That's what it's all about.
It's excellent. So we are on the verge of, and you're well into the training for this year's NRA Action Shooting Championship known as the Bianchi Cup.
Yeah.
And that's coming up.
It's coming up, I guess, what, 2.5 weeks?
Right.
Something like that. So, yeah, I'm right about where I need to be. You know, once I get done the show here, NRA show, I'll get home and get a few days of training in, and then I'll be on the road a little bit. But, you know, I got some more work to do, a little fine tuning, but I'll be ready to rock and roll.
That's
once
awesome.
I get there.
I mean, that's one that I've been going to shoot. I mean, a long, long, long time. You know, as you know, I mean, we've been seeing each other there for many,
forever.
Many years, and it's always an interesting thing for me as a producer and as somebody who's going to follow that action and try to figure out what's going to happen to make sure I've got all the bases covered. That one is a special challenge because a lot of things happen at once. And they've changed the format again back to the original format.
Right.
So, you know, it's no longer a championship Saturday thing. It's no longer like slam it all together and get as many cameras on the range as you can in a course of about 6 hours.
Right.
Now it's drawn out over the 3 days.
3 days again.
And that puts people into a different mindset. It puts people as shooters and as competitors into that, okay, I have to be ready for this one of the four events, and it all rides on this shot for shot in this event. And for you guys, the open division, it starts with the practical.
Right.
And that is a staggering undertaking, the 50-yard shots and
right.
the time limits, and you're looking at the X-ring from 50 yards away.
You know, that's what I love about the match is just the accuracy that is forced upon you to do well. And I think, you know, starting out on the practical, you know, I like doing it. You know, we get to go prone still, you
sure.
know, until they change that rule back again. Who knows?
Yeah, well.
But, you know, I love it. And but it does. It changes the dynamics of how you as a competitor, you know, look at the match. You know, back to the old format as
right.
versus, you know, last year it was just a qualifying, and then we had the finals in 1 day. The year before, the first 3 days also counted. It was a combination.
Right.
So, you know, they're trying different combinations here of what they want to do, but – you know, I just tell people I'm going to be ready to go, whatever,
right. no
whatever
what
we got to do.
Let's yep.
just tell me where I need to be, what time, and we'll see what happens.
So day two of the Bianchi Cup, historically for the open front runners, will be the barricades
mm-hmm.
and then the plates.
That's correct.
Barricades in the morning, sometime, you know, 9, 10 a.m.
Yep.
Is, from an outsider looking in or from someone who doesn't have a full understanding of what it takes to shoot the Bianchi Cup, is the barricade a bit of a phone-in that you can just slap the gun up on the barricade and hold the wings and just put the dot where it needs to be and pull the trigger? I mean, in terms of it can't be that simple.
Well, it's not, you know, and when you look at whether you're shooting production or metallic, you know, they're trying to shoot clean. But even though it looks like it's simple with the open guns, but the problem is any little error you have now is magnified because you have to put in a solid score.
Right.
So really it comes down to maybe not as much shooting technique, but it's how to get on the barricade, your draw, all those, that technique now has to be perfected.
Yes.
So that once you're on, you can, you know, manipulate the gun, fire the shots, and come out with a good score. I mean, really to win the match, I mean, if you don't shoot, I mean, on the low end, 45X, but
right.
you got to be 46, 47, 48. You can't give away
right.
stuff there. And I've seen over the years, I mean, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff at the match, but, you know, I've seen top shooters, you know, bobble on their transfer and shoot an 8 on the barricade.
Right. That's the end of your run.
Goodbye.
Yeah, it's
adios.
Over.
Yeah. It's over.
Yeah.
So it's it looks easy, and to some shooters, well, it's just, you know, you lock on and you shoot, but I wish it were that easy.
Sure.
I mean, I get just as nervous because I know if you have a boo-boo there, it's going to be very painful.
It's game over. Right,
okay?
Absolutely. The from there, then, it's the plates that afternoon. And there is no margin for error with
no,
the plates.
No, that's no man's land. You miss that one.
Right. Yeah, it's over.
It's way gone.
Rob Latham has called the plates many times. He's referred to the plates as the most stressful event in all of the shooting sports.
Yeah, you know, and you know, for him shooting metallic or production, it's probably got a little higher stress level because, again, shooting the iron sight guns, and a lot of them don't do any prone until maybe 25. So there's an added dimension. For the open, again, it's probably not as much the shots as it is the technique, getting prone, and just surviving it.
Sure.
You know, that's the key because, again, they're at a level that if they miss a plate, yeah, they're probably not going to win, but they might, depending what other shooters do. But in the open class, I mean, you're not going to be top 20 if you miss a plate.
Right.
You're so far gone.
Yep.
There's no coming back from that. Even if it would have been the other format where you had to shoot again, I mean, you're just buried.
Right.
Now.
And then ultimately for the open division, it culminates with the mover on Friday afternoon. So you haven't done anything since Thursday afternoon.
Right.
would you, as a competitor, and I don't know this, I'm asking this because I don't know, would you typically go to the practice range and shoot a mover before going and shooting a mover?
Yeah.
For score?
I typically do. I mean, okay. I typically just, you know, really more than anything, just to do something.
Yeah.
You know, because...
Rather than sit in the hotel and watch TV.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be different if we shot at 9 or 10 in the morning, but typically they make us wait till 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and it's like... I'm here to match. I want to shoot. I want to do something.
Right.
So I'll typically, you know, go over, shoot maybe a practice one, clean my gun,
right.
You know, just kind of idle something, you know, do something, and then maybe shoot one more or check a zero and time to go. You know,
yeah.
At that point, you're not learning anything. You're not, I mean, if you're not ready to go by the time you get there,
yeah.
You know,
yes.
Chances are you're not ready to go.
Right. So that's the next question, because I've remarked a number of times over the years in coverage, when you walk out to the mover, you don't speak to anyone. You've got your glasses on. You've got your blinders in place. You fill out your targets. You check in with the range officer. And then you sit in such a way, and you are so still. It's almost hypnotic. It's kind of a soothing thing to watch. I know for you, you're slowing your heart rate. You're maintaining all of your levels, making sure the adrenaline dump is under control. Have you ever monitored your heart rate to see where it ends up and see if it spikes as you shoot the event, see what happens?
Yeah, I haven't done that in a long time. I played with that a lot years ago. But now, you know, after doing it so much, I kind of can feel where
right.
I'm at. And it does get elevated once I get on the line. You know, I just want to try to keep my, you know, stuff together before I get out there and to me, that time is just collect my thoughts, make sure I have all my gear, my mags are all loaded, and just make sure I have everything ready because, you know, you can forget something. Oh, that mag's only got 5 in it. You know,
right.
Especially there when you're checking in and you're filling your targets and they're pulling ammo for chrono. I mean, it
a lot of moving
happen.
Parts.
They take
yeah.
your mag and you don't know what mag they took and somebody talks to you or something happens. And
yep.
before you know it, you forget to load your mag up and...
Yep.
You know, so I kind of go through all that, and then I just try to, you know, kind of collect my thoughts and, you know, just kind of get myself in the happy place
sure.
and, you know, be ready to go.
You've remarked to me before about the mover event that you see the bullets tear the paper.
If I'm really relaxed and really tuned in, there's times where I can, you know, I can catch a glimpse of the jacket, you know, going in the air, and then I can actually see them hit the target, and that's a good feeling when you see him hit
that's
in a good
level.
Spot.
That is next level, ladies and gentlemen. If you ever wondered how the man won 18 Bianchi Cup championships, that's the next level. It's an interesting thing, though, in certain instances, and as many years as we've been doing that, you're shooting and winning that match, and I'm there covering it for the show. There have been instances where you've turned to me and said, John, what did that look like?
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know. I was filming you. I've got another guy filming the target.
Right.
I don't know yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think there are situations where you might not be in that tight of a zone.
Oh, it happens. And sometimes you're in and out of that zone per string,
mm-hmm.
per shots in that string. You know, there's times where I'm, you know, like last year was an example. I mean... I don't know what it was. It was just something about the moment. If you remember, on the final day, I was the last shooter.
Right.
And that storm was coming in, and the
you
lightning
bet.
Was going. And I just kept saying, you know, please, God, just let
Hold
me get through this
off.
Thing. Don't dump on me right then. A little rain's fine, but, you know. And, you know, I just kind of got there. And once I started to shoot, you know, I was just seeing what I needed to see. I didn't shoot all X's, you know. Maybe at the close lines like I would have liked. But once I got back to 25, you know, I just kind of had a mental deal with myself on, you know, what I was going to accept for shots. Because I knew, you know, I was going to need to shoot really well,
sure.
you know, to win. And I just told myself, if it's not in the X ring, I'm not pulling the trigger. If
right.
I'm late, I'm late. That's just the way it's going to work
right.
out. And, you know, once I got to 25, you know, I'll never forget, you know, it's probably in all the years of my shooting the match, even though I have been successful and been very fortunate that it was probably the last, you know, the last 6 shots were the best I've ever closed out in that match.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
and I saw everything as it was happening. And when I shot the last 3 shots, I knew they were all 3 were right in the middle of the X ring. And I was just like, you know, that was for me was a just, you know, an excellent way to finish. And, you know, I was just excited for that, you know, at that time. It didn't quite sink in, you know, as it never does right when it happens.
Sure,
you're just so, you're so jacked up and everything that's going on in your mind and hasn't really sunk in until a little bit later.
It's been a tremendous honor for me to have the access to those moments and to be there and, you know, be allowed to be as close to that level of accuracy and precision and focus. And, you know, I mean, I think it's taken a long time to ingratiate myself and my crew with the shooters, and especially you and others, so that we're not a distraction, so that we're there to do our job but not cause any distraction.
And right. Well, you guys do a great job with it.
That's a neat thing, man.
And it's, you know, for me, it's nice. You know, I mean, I've known you forever.
Yeah, it seems
like. And you guys, you know, it all works. I don't even notice that you're there, you know, as far as being an impingement or anything like that. And it's funny that you're right, though. Now that you say that, I remember lots of times I'd look at you and go, like, you know, some of those shots.
How was that?
You know, how was that? I'm a little tight right now.
Here's an interesting sidebar. We most recently worked together at the Max Michelle Pro Shooter Experience that was out in at the Pro Gun Club in Las Vegas, and a small portion of that particular event involved the guys from the Halo Neuroscience company coming out with the Halo Sport Neuro Priming System and letting the competitors have a chance to try that, knowing that Max has been using it and seeing some benefits, and he remarks more about that in his social media feeds and so on. But I think at that point, you had an opportunity to try one.
Absolutely.
Talk about that. I mean, I've seen a number of different improvements for me at my skill level, both in the shooting but also in the physical training. Tell the people how it's working for you.
Yeah, I mean, I've been using it now, you know, a few weeks or close to a month, and I think for me, where it puts me or where it makes me feel, you know, after all these years of training and prep work and shooting, it makes me feel like I'm further along in my training. So after just a few days, I felt like I would normally feel after maybe a month of practice.
There you go.
So to me, that's a humongous you know, enhancement of your time and energy, and you know, for where I'm at in my shooting career, the other things that pull me from the range. You know, everybody thinks, oh, you're a pro shooter, you get, you know, truckloads of ammo, Hornady ammo, they just come drop shipping on your range and you go shoot for 8 hours a day. And I wish it was that,
yeah,
but it's not that.
Right.
I mean, there's, you know, I have to schedule my time on the range like anybody else because there's a lot more obligations on things that I'm doing for people, and which I love to do, but, you know, to get that time on the range, anything I can do to get me where I need to be or where I want to be is you know, worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's a lot of conjecture on the internet about it. Does it work? Does it not work? All I can say is, if it doesn't work, I'll take two more, because for me, it's, hey, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is on the mover events on long range, and the proof is in my gym. And for you, it's a matter of maximizing your time. You know what I mean? You know whether or not you're shooting well or not. You've been doing this long enough at the highest level to know. And, you know, that's the bottom line.
And that's how I look at it. I mean, to me, you know, I'm still testing it, still getting a feel and things like that. But, you know, my initial thing, just like I said, it makes me feel like after, you know, a few days of training, a few days of practice, that I'm way ahead of where I should have been. You know, typically it would take me X amount of rounds or X amount of days on the range to kind of get that feel, because that's what the shooting is. It's a timing, it's a feel, it's a confidence level, and anything that gets me there closer, you know, can
only
be
a good
thing.
End of the day, there's still a television show. The championship season.
Yeah.
Is this season 8?
I think I'm on 9.
9?
I think I'm on
9. I don't mean to undercut you, but my goodness. On top of all of that, there's a TV show. Talk about the championship season.
Yeah, well, you know, again, back when it started, you know, the whole premise was to kind of, you know, show my lifestyle. And, you know, when I started to shoot, you kind of had your separate groups. You had your shooters and your hunters, and nobody really kind of crossed over. And the whole thing for me was, you know, I want to get more shooters to try hunting, get out and hunt, be part of that, conservation, things like that. And then I want to get the hunters, you know, to come out, try some shooting, get more involved in it, because number one, it's going to help you be a better hunter when that time comes, you know, to deal with the pressure, you know, your buck fever, or you get that elk at 300 yards and you got, you know, a certain amount of time to get set up and get on it. And to just, I mean, we're all one big family. I don't know why, you know, it was kind of segregated like that, but I wanted to try to bring that whole thing together. And you know, right now I think, you know, still my show's kind of unique in that form and fashion where we take the viewer, you know, to a competition in one episode or half the episode, and then we roll into a hunt and we talk about the gear and how I would, you know, set things up or get prepped for that. And, you know, and then on top of that, the icing on the cake is having my kids involved and showing how they're, you know, starting out as young hunters and shooters and then turning into young men. And that's what it's all about for me. I mean, you know me long enough. Truly, it starts with family for
Absolutely.
Me. I mean, that's the deal. That's my life. And that's, you know, my focus. And then everything else kind of spiders off of that.
Here you go. Sportsman's Challenge.
Pursuit.
Yeah, okay.
Pursuit, yeah.
All right, so it's the Duck Canucks Championship season on Pursuit. It's ninth season. I'm sorry to shortcut you.
I don't know.
It's nine. And DuckCanuck.com if you want to know more. And we'll obviously have plenty of Duck Canuck in front of our channel. That's it. What a great interview, sir. Thank you for the time.
Thank you.
Excellent. We've got more coming from the NRA's annual meetings down here in Dallas. Stay tuned. Good job.